This is the Coach Brew Show.
This is also the world's shortest podcast intro.
Play by your own rules. Welcome, everybody, to the Coach Brew Podcast. Where do great ideas go to die? Well, or shall I say when? They go to die when false assumptions of rules are made. So I want to encourage you to play by your own rules. At whatever time you're listening to this, could be 2024. At the time of this recording, it's early April 2024. But whenever you're listening to this, I want you to play by your own rules that year. I mean, you might be listening to this in 2035. Make it your mission to play by your own rules. So let me ask you this question. How successful would you be if there weren't any rules holding you back? Because a lot of times we feel like there are an awful lot of rules or laws and things holding us back. Spoiler alert. What if I told you there actually aren't any rules holding you back? Yeah, in my work as an executive coach, I typically see two kinds of entrepreneurs. Those who think the rules exist to help them, and those who believe the rules exist to constrain them. And I'll give you a little hint. There are way more in that second category. You know, we like to blame the rules for holding us back, when in reality, the only thing holding us back is, well, us. Let me explain. I'm going to give you a couple stories, a couple examples. I think perhaps we'd be better off if we simply had a better understanding of the rules and how to use their loopholes to our advantage. Because thinking we have to blindly follow rules leads to tunnel vision, when in reality, there are other options outside of the proverbial tunnel. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know I believe one thing, and that is our best ideas will always come from outside our industry, which is why I study the world's top performers in other industries. And I am going to share with you several examples from outside of my industry and yours. So before you get it in your head, because I know many of you are already thinking that, oh, my industry is different. My profession's different. My business is different. If I had a dime for every time I heard that, your business isn't different. Your industry isn't different. Your profession isn't different. Your market isn't different. Fundamentals are fundamentals. And I think you'll see that with these examples I am going to share with you. Did you know there was a time in the United States when lawyers couldn't advertise? Could not advertise, yeah. They couldn't run ads on TV. They couldn't be on billboards. They couldn't be in magazines. None. Nada. It wasn't the law. It was actually the American Bar Association, air quotes, rules. Then eventually it became law, and a funny thing happened. A lawyer by the name of Osteen, I believe he's from Cleveland, Ohio, one day asked the question, where the hell did this come from, and who says so? And he dug a little deeper, and he looked a little more, and he said, hang on a second here. This is unconstitutional. And back then, they had this thing called the First Amendment. We still do, sort of. You would think lawyers probably ought to know about the First Amendment. And you would think the National Bar Association kind of ought to know about the First Amendment. So this attorney, Osteen, sued the National Bar Association. The case ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. And now, lawyers can advertise everywhere. Whether you think that's a good thing or not. But it is an enlightening story that people just looked at a rule And instead of questioning it, they were just following it blindly to probably a detriment to themselves and their business. I remember the marketing great Dan Kennedy shared a story once where he, you know, he works in the marketing, direct marketing space, but he's also, it does a lot in like self-help, self-improvement. And he was living in Arizona. He opened a self-improvement store. And there is an Arizona board of private and technical schools who kind of regulate all the private schools. You know, if you're going to become a hairdresser or a welder or something like that, those schools that you would attend are regulated by this board. And this board, as you can imagine, is made up entirely of people who own the schools. So they regulate themselves so they don't have any competition. It's kind of like a cartel. Well, as you can imagine, because of that, they have a gazillion rules about what you can and can't do if you're a private or technical school. So Dan apparently ran afoul of them and was like giving free seminars in the back room of his store. And they showed up one day and said, hey, you're running classes and you're advertising classes. So you're a school. And here's the rule book of basically all the rules and laws and things you have to follow that they made up. And they then fined him for already violating those rules. And as you can imagine, you know, one of the rules is you have to have certain academic credentials, which he did not have, and certification, what you can and can't say in advertising. And then the advertising had to be approved by the board of the private and technical schools. So, you know, layer upon layer of administrative minutiae. And so he took this rule book home and he's flipping through it and said, boy, it looks like I'm going to be out of business. But then, upon closer review, he saw that there is a loophole they put in there for classes run by private clubs. And it's basically, it was in there for country clubs so they could teach golf and tennis lessons without being regulated by all this stuff. So I imagine, essentially, their money bought them the ability not to be regulated by that association. So what Dan did when he saw that was every time someone showed up for one of his seminars at his, you know, self-improvement store, they received a membership card making you, yep, you guessed it, a member of his private club. So the next time this the board members of this Association of Private Technical Schools showed up, and we're going to try and police him and, you know, basically said, what are you doing? You can't be doing this. We've already talked to you about this. He just looked at him and said, sorry, we're not a school. We're not within your jurisdiction. And here's why. It's in your own rule book. By the way, would you like to become a member of my private club? So, like, it's just a great example of there's always a way. Even when you think there isn't a way, there's always a way. And well, that's a great example. It's not my favorite example. But a quick side note, much like Dan read and really studied that rule book, I would encourage you to do the same with whatever book of guidelines there is in your industry. Study it from cover to cover. Get to know it. Know it better than the people who legislate or enforce the rules or guidelines in your industry. One thing I did every year when I was, if you didn't know, I was a college lacrosse coach for 12 years. Every year before the season started, I read the rule book and I had my assistant coaches read the rule book cover to cover. And quizzed myself on it, quizzed them on it. And then at practice, we would quiz our players on the rules. Why? Well, I wanted to make sure I knew the rules better than the officials who were enforcing the rules in my game on game day. because, well, that's my livelihood. That's my job. I'm supposed to know the rules. But if I know them better than the people enforcing them, and I could literally cite paragraph, rule number, page number in the rule book where they're wrong, things are going to go in my favor on game day when there's a questionable call. So I would encourage you to know your rules and guidelines better than the people who enforce them in your industry. My favorite example of playing by your own rules is from touring and session drummer Dusty Saxton. He toured with country artist Granger Smith, and now he is with the band Austin Mead. He's also the author of the Rockstar Rulebook. Perfect name for it, right? Well, I interviewed him a few years ago, and he shared this story with me that in 2004, he was a drummer in a band in his hometown near Waco, Texas. It was his senior year of high school, and he recognized there was a need for a concert venue in his community, and, well, no one else was starting one, so he decided he was just the person to start one. He didn't wait for someone else. He didn't ask someone else. He took action. He did it himself. Well, as it turns out, obtaining the permits, the zoning, and the licensing he needed to open, they call them dance halls down there, concert venues, it just proved to be way too complex and expensive. However, he was undeterred in that he knew a loophole in the Waco City law allowed music stores to host live music events. So he instead sought to open a retail music shop. As a result, he and a couple of his buddies opened a retail store called Hero Records, which is an independent music store. Now, the rent was $600 a month, and he and his classmates, who were his business partners, decided that, well, since Dusty was the only one under the age of 18, he was 17 at the time, he should be the person whose name was on the lease. So they had him sign the building lease. And the logic was that if anything went wrong or the whole deal went south, the contract would have to be void because it was signed by a minor, which, I just think is so brilliant in so many different ways. So they overcame, like, the problem of the physical location. They had a problem with inventory, so he got creative. And, you know, most vendors require you to prepay for your first order, any kind of inventory. There's $2,500 in their case. And what he did was he was able to persuade a seat at the time, CDs were still a thing, a CD wholesaler, to give him inventory on credit. And then he sent the wholesaler 10 $250 checks. Like, basically, what he did was he negotiated with the vendor to let him cash one check at a time as they sold, and his record store sold $250 worth of inventory, then another $250, and then another. He sent him, you know, the 10 $250 checks all at once, but just time spaced them out, agreed to have them time spaced out when they would deposit them. So they solved the inventory problem after they solved the physical location problem. And the question became, where are they going to house the inventory? Well, they managed to find old shelving that local big box retailers are throwing away, and they just used that. And what happened was a pretty cool and pretty amazing success story. They filled a unique niche, especially within their geography. They became a destination tour stop for bands who were on the way from Dallas to Austin and vice versa. And, you know, artists who performed at South by Southwest, which is kind of that famous, I think it's a tech conference now, also performed at Hero Records while they were in Central Texas. So it's just a fascinating story of operating within yet around the rules. And I think if you're able to look at, you know, the, I guess the norms in your industry, which people might think, well, there's got to be a rule for this or a law against that. So they haven't done something, that thing. When in fact, you know, there might not be a rule or a law against that. Or maybe, like in the case of the lawyer's advertising situation, maybe it's a law that can and should be contested because it's illegal. It infringes on, you know, in their case, First Amendment rights. So, you know, I think these stories are a shining example that there, this idea that, like, there, first of all, there aren't as many rules holding you back as you may think. And if you're an entrepreneur, a freelancer, or a leader, you know, like, our rules truly are a little different than everyone else's. So my best advice for you with this, the big idea, the big takeaway is, you know, to become the rock star of whether it's your market, your profession, your industry, you need to create a vision where you see things not as they are, not with like the constraints, but as they can become. And to make that happen, what you've got to do is you got to turn the rules that bind you, that seemingly bind you, into a competitive advantage. I think today more than ever, you can't afford to fit in. You really can't. You can't afford to wait your turn or just blindly follow the path others have already taken for a couple of reasons. Number one, the path is too crowded. Number two, it's too time consuming. And number three, it's probably too expensive. So I want to leave you with this. Just because nobody's doing something, we often assume there's a rule prohibiting it. And often, upon closer examination, in reality, there really isn't. So there's some powerful revealing lessons. And I think that's a nugget of wisdom right there. Just because no one's doing something doesn't mean there's a rule preventing you from doing it. It just means no one's doing it. And, you know, my coaching mentor once told me, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. And, you know, that's a cute saying that people use to get out of trouble when they do something without, quote, getting permission. But if you think about it, Uber didn't ask for permission. Spotify didn't ask for permission. Airbnb didn't ask for permission. Dusty Saxton and his classmates who opened that retail store / concert venue certainly didn't ask for permission. Every one of those organizations marched to the beat of their own drum and found a significant competitive advantage in the process. So here's my question for you. What industry rule can you turn upside down and utilize to your advantage this year? That's it. That's the question. Love to hear your thoughts and answers. What industry rule you're going to turn upside down and use to your advantage this year? This has been the Coach Brew Podcast. And yeah, play by your own rules this year. Because false assumptions of rules are where great ideas go to die, my friends. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already liked, subscribed, commented, hit that notification bell, done all the things, or maybe just, you know, shared the podcast with someone you think could benefit from it, please do so now. That is how we spread the word, and that is how we help more people. So I appreciate you sharing and reviewing. More importantly, I'll really appreciate it if you play by your own rules this year. This has been the Coach Brew Podcast. Catch you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Coach Brew Show. If you're not currently subscribed to the podcast, sign up now on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And for more information to turn your potential into performance, head on over to coachbrew.com now.